this, and then I'm going to read another section after this in 2 Timothy. We're in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and take and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Yes. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times or dangerous times will come." You know what? This is the New King James. I'm going to read it from here. This is the New Living. "That in the last days there shall be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends and be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that." Please be seated. Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, we just ask that your spirit would be poured out today, Lord God, that you would do in our hearts what needs to be done, Lord God. I ask for utterance. I ask for the spirit to lead me, and that the hearts of the people would be opened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here in Timothy it says, in the last days, perilous times will come. And also if we go back to Acts, it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, it says the Lord God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." So there's two channels. In the last days, the Spirit of God is being poured out.
Yes.
And also, the people are becoming disobedient, unholy, unthankful, unforgiving. So there's two different things happening. I think the church is going to shine brighter and brighter as the world gets darker and darker. Amen?
Amen.
You know, and it says that it shall come to pass in the last days, and this was written about 2,000 years ago, close to it. So if that's the last days, these must be the last of the last days. Yeah. Amen?
Yes.
You know, the Bible, the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created heavens and earth." Mm-hmm. So there is a beginning, and how many people know that there is an end? It says, "When this gospel is preached to all the world, then the end shall come."
Yes.
Revelations chapter 21 says, "Then I, John," this is verse 2, it says, "saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heavens, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people.'" And the very last verses of the whole Bible says, this is Revelations 22, verse 20, says, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So this is a big fat book we got here. But the very last word, the last thing he wants you to remember is, "Behold, I come quickly." And we say, "Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus."
Yes.
You know, people think that the world is going to last forever. And I guess that's okay for the world. But for the church, yes, if we believe the word, we know that there is a beginning and there is an end. In the beginning, God, and in the end, he's coming back again. So we need to have that attitude that we are in the last days, in the last of the last days. And you know, this is a partially fulfilled prophecy from Joel. The part about him pouring out the Spirit, that all of that has been fulfilled. But starting in verse 19, it says, "And I will show you the wonders of heaven." Go back to the first verse, the poured out Spirit, if you would please. There you go. And it says, "I will show you wonders in heaven above and signs from the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord." So these words are talking about the very end. These words have not been fulfilled yet.
Yes.
This is talking about revelations. It's talking about dark times. You know, I think in Revelations chapter 9, it says a third of the earth are destroyed. Revelations talk about the mark of the beast, beheadings, blood, war. Talks about asteroids hitting the sea. So it's really a dark, ugly time. If we could go to Romans 1:18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppresses the truth." So the wrath of God is coming, guys. But you know, I don't think we need to be afraid of it, because 1 Thessalonians 5:9 through 11 says, "For God did not appoint us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Amen? So the wrath is coming, but you know what? That's not for us.
Yes.
That does not attain to us. Mm-hmm. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you're already doing. So when we're talking about end time things for the church, it should be a comfort. I shouldn't be scaring you, right? We're trying to comfort, edify, build each other up. Amen? And I don't want to talk too much about the end time part, the unfulfilled prophecy of Joel, but we're going to go just a little bit more, and then we're going to go talking about the part that's already been fulfilled,
right?
The poured out Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, if we were here on the end times, during the book of Revelation, like some people think that they have to go through a tribulation. And can I tell you something? That is nothing that should divide us. I mean, whether some people believe that they need to go through tribulation, and I personally think that, you know, God is going to catch us up out of here before that. You know, we don't want to fight about that. I know churches have been split, friendships have been broken because of such things. So we want to keep the main thing,
yes,
right? We want to keep walking in love. But the scripture does talk about these things, so I think they do need to be addressed. So why don't we have to worry about these dark times, these end times? Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. If you want to look it up, I'll give you just a second, or it's going to be up on the board there. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain," that's us who are walking on the face of the earth, shall be caught up together with them in the crowd, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen?
Amen.
So it says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus you will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So church, when we're talking about the end times, I want to be comfort. I want to be an encouragement. I don't want to have something, you know, we start looking into the mark of the beast and you know, these are some crazy times that we live on right now. You know, and a lot of people think these are the end times. And who knows, it could be another 500 years. I don't think so, but I don't know. But we should always be ready.
Yes.
The coming of the Lord is imminent, which means it could happen at any time. It's not immediate. Immediate means, hey, you know, if I came up here and said, Jesus is coming next Wednesday at 2 o'clock, you know, that's just wrong. But he could come in next Wednesday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
He could come right now as we sit. So we have to have that attitude that, yes, you know, Jesus is coming. And I think if you really believe that and if you really acted like that, you're going to keep pretty short accounts with God. You know, how you spend your time, if you knew the Lord's at the door, how you what you're looking at online, the people you talk to, the things that you do, you know, that if you really think that the Lord is coming, that should keep us holy.
Yes.
Amen? Amen. So that's the part of Joel that hasn't been fulfilled yet. But the other part, the good part, and the fun part, and it's all good, but the part that is for us right now, you know, and the last part anyway of that says, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, and the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I was talking with Pastor James at the restaurant, and he reminded me that that verse or that portion of the verse is repeated in Romans in chapter 10. And this is something that that we always, when we're talking to the ladies in jail, and we usually minister to the ladies, it's whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yes.
The King James Version says, whosoever. You know, I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. But that person down the street that you kind of avoid, who's living an unholy lifestyle, you know what? If they call upon the Lord in faith, if they really mean it in their heart, they will be saved.
Yes.
This gospel is not just for the few. It's not just for the traditional straight-laced people, but it's for people with tattoos. It's for people who've been living an ungodly lifestyle. He's calling all of us together. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, this is for us. This is for the good. This is for the bad, and this is for the ugly. So this is Romans 10, chapter 13, Romans 10, verse 13 through 18. This is something that we always, when we do the jail ministry, we always bring these verses up. And you know what? For the most part, people are excited. You know, this gospel is good news. That's what the word gospel means. And if you start saying, hey, you know what? Jesus died for your sins. It's their hearts are open. They like it. You know, they get excited about this. So Romans 10, starting in verse 13, says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You know, we need to believe in our heart, and then at the same time, the scripture says we need to confess it. We need to say, yes, Jesus is Lord. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him, whosoever, the King James says, will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Greek and Jew. For the same Lord over all is rich to all those who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen and amen. That's good news, guys. That's the salvation, man. That's why we can have that joy in our heart is, hey, you know what? I could not achieve salvation. And the Jews, the religious Jews in the Old Testament, they thought that they could achieve it. But we can receive it by grace. What we could not achieve, we receive by faith. So we couldn't achieve, we receive when we believe. Amen? You know, Joel says that the Lord will pour out his spirit. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. All flesh doesn't mean just American white people. It means all flesh. It means people in Africa. It means people in China, people in Indonesia. I don't know if you guys have, sometimes I think we get a little bit too involved in our little circle of fellowships, and it doesn't seem like the Lord is doing anything, but more salvations are happening right now in China than happened at any time in history. Yeah. China is turning to the gospel. Much of it. Hallelujah. And at the same time, there's resistance. As I was researching this, I saw where the Chinese government was actually taking Bibles and changing some verses in it. I saw where, like when Jesus was ministering to the lady caught in adultery, and they were all ready to stone her, well, the Chinese government, they took that Bible and they changed the verse, and it says, and Jesus led them with the stoning. Those snakes, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. But hey, you know what? The gates of hell shall not stand against this gospel. Hallelujah. You know, so we're believing, you know, no confusion from the devil is going to stop the gospel in China. In Iran, have you guys heard about Iran? The church is growing. You know, people think of Iran as an enemy of the United States, and maybe their governments are, maybe the mullahs are, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached there, and people are churning, people are believing that the gospel is being poured out. It's happening also in Afghanistan, which was, as I was researching this, is they even rival what's happening in Iran. The gospel is being preached. People are responding. People are being saved. Asia, other parts of Asia, Africa, all over the world, this gospel is being poured out. Yes. It started here in the second chapter of Acts, but you know what? It's still being poured out. It's poured out all over this world. Amen? And it's poured out into our hearts if we allow it, if we let him, if we're open to it. Say, yes, Lord. Pour your spirit out into me. Yes. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But somebody might ask, so why aren't we seeing it in the United States? Well, you know, I think part of it, you're right, in spots. And I don't think that the Lord has forgotten the United States of America, amen?
Yes.
You know what? The Lord hasn't forgotten Israel either. It says, all Israel shall be saved. You know, there's coming a time when Israel is going to accept the gospel.
That's right.
I think when it says all Israel, I don't think it means every single individual, but it means Israel as a nation will be saved.
Yes.
Amen? That's the word of God, and we believe that word of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But why is it sometimes that seems to be some resistance to the Holy Spirit? In some churches in America and around other places in the world, I think it's churches have their program, you know, they have their ideas of what they want, and they don't want the Holy Spirit coming up and messing things up. You know, we have a little box for you, Holy Spirit. And then you come in here. You know, we don't want you doing some things that are going to change our program. Doing some things that might embarrass us a little bit. Just stepping out in faith a little bit. So I think a lot of it is, it's not that God doesn't want to pour out His Spirit, but we need to be willing and available.
That's
Amen.
Right. Yes.
You know. The Bible, the Holy Spirit came in like a wind, and it also came down on the people like a fire. But there's other places where the Holy Spirit is related to oil, like the anointing oil. And when I'm seeing the Holy Spirit pour out his Spirit, I'm seeing it come down like oil, you know, touching people, touching lives and everything. But ladies, how would... Most of you would probably not be happy if there was like somebody came in and poured oil all over your floor in the kitchen. I know my wife's always complaining when I leave a mess. So sometimes I think the Holy Spirit, you know, is going to mess some things up, man.
Yeah.
You know, we've got our traditions. We have our programs. I'm not against denominational churches, you know. God bless them. But not every denominational church is really open to the Holy Spirit. You know, they have a structure, just like the Catholic Church. They have a structure. They have the Pope or the leader of the church. They have the archbishop. They have a bishop, and everything's coming down, just like a nice little triangle. But the scripture here says they were all filled. Let me see where I'm at. It says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Praise God. So it's young men like me, old men like some of these other people. It's maid servants. I'm young and hard anyway. You know what I'm saying. I'm claiming it by faith. So you can picture yourself in here. Old people, young people, maid servants, which are women, men servants. You know, this is open to everybody. You know, the Holy Spirit is not worried about man's structure. This is something that he wants to work in each one of us as individuals. He wants to strengthen us, and as we're strengthened, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're gonna
yes.
strengthen the church.
Yes.
You know, God wants to pour out His Spirit on the church, but at the same time, He wants to pour His Spirit out on us individually. Amen?
Amen.
Also, I think this is... slide number 10. This is also from Joel. Joel is the one who talked about that the Spirit will be poured out. And this is another verse from him. It says, Joel 2:23. It says, Rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God. For He has given you the early rain for your vindication, and He has poured down the rain, the early and latter rain as before. So the early rain is actually the fall. If you do it in the way, you know, you might think of it as in the spring. That's how we look at it. But in the Jewish mind, the early rain was the fall rains. And the latter rains is the spring rains. And the spring rains are the more important for the farmers, for the crops. Right? So I think that there was the early rain was the time of Acts, the early church, when the Spirit was being poured out.
Wow.
But this latter rain, I think, is right now, today. I think that prophecy is being fulfilled. This is the latter rain work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Things are happening right now, and we need to believe it. You know, we need to walk in it. We need to receive it. This is the prophecy of Joel. And you know what? I had to go back to Acts 1:8. Pastor James, he preached on this a few weeks back. You know, he mentioned it. And just something about that, you know, just stuck in my heart, man. And I read it many times, obviously. But when we're talking about this spirit, we're talking about power. Guys, God wants to have a powerful church. He doesn't want to have weak church. He wants to have a powerful church that's bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And we receive that gift of righteousness. Amen?
Yes.
So, I don't want to re-preach a James sermon, but you know what? I'm excited about it. So, I'm going to say some more on it.
Yes.
Acts 1:8. But you will receive power. And the Greek word there is dunamis. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So dunamis is inherent power. Power for performing miracles. Strength, power, or ability. This is the power that we receive when we receive the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing that reminded me of this is we were ministering in jail, me and a couple ladies, and there was a lady in there who said, "Oh, I remember you. I saw you back in 2018. And, you know, and she seemed like a real nice lady, and she gave her heart to the Lord. You know, I don't know where she is really spiritually, and we never know. But she seemed like she was sincere. And she said she gave up drugs for a couple years. And she was right back into it. And she was right back in jail. So there's something missing there. And I think what she's missing is the power.
Yeah.
The drugs have more power in her life than the Holy Spirit does. I think maybe I'm not doing a good enough job of talking to these people that we receive power when the Holy Spirit is coming into us. That dynamite power,
yes.
That explosive power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're hooked on drugs, the Holy Spirit, that dunamis power, can change things.
Yes.
If your marriage is on the rocks, and you know I don't know anybody's marriage or anything like that, you know what? That dunamis power can change things.
That's right.
This is the power of God that we have in our lives, guys. This is the power that was poured out on Pentecost, and he hasn't brought it back, church.
Yeah.
You know, there's Christians in the world, you know, that are hooked on drugs. They're hooked on pornography. I know that has a strong hold on people. You know, but you know what? There is power here, guys. I think we're not working. We're not using what God has given us. That dunamis power. You know, I don't know if you noticed, guys, but it's football season. It's also hunting season. So between football and hunting, you were missing some people here, but. I was thinking about how we receive power. And, you know, the quarterback, he goes back for a pass, and he's looking for a receiver. But if people aren't paying attention, they're not going to receive that from anything from that quarterback, just like we're not going to receive anything from the Lord. You know, sometimes a receiver might be out in the, you know, and the play's going on, and people are running around, and he's open, you know, he's going to raise his hands and say, "I'm open. I want to receive, guys."
Yeah.
So that's what we need to do. We need to be like that, like the receiver saying, "We're looking for it. We're open, Lord. We want that." But if we're not paying attention, I don't know if you guys ever seen little kids doing T-ball. I mean, yeah. Yeah, and maybe some of you remember that. You know, the kids are playing in the grass, and they're, you know, maybe they put their glove in front of their face. You know what I'm talking about? And maybe they're talking. You know what? They're not interested in receiving. When I was a child, I thought like a child, I spoke like a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So I'm grown up in the Lord right now. I'm growing up anyway. I want to be receiver. I want to be, you know, Lord, I'm open. I'm open to receive that Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we receive power, which is dunamis. And, you know, I have some verses here. 117 times the word dunamis, which we translate into power, is in the New Testament. So I'm just going to read a few of these places where the word dunamis is in our New Testament. And Mark 5:30, it says, "And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power, dunamis, had gone from him, immediately turned around to the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?'" And as you know the story, it's the lady with an issue of blood. She came up behind him and touched his garments. And Jesus, in his natural man, he didn't even know who it was. So he had that inherent power in him. Didn't even have to say a word. Just touch his garments. And that dunamis power touched that lady. Mm-hmm. And there's another place in Mark 6:5-6. And it says, "He could do no mighty works." This is talking about Jesus. "There except he laid his hands on a few people and healed them. And he was amazed at their unbelief." So unbelief and lack of power are hooked together here. So Jesus, how would you want Jesus to say, I'm amazed at how unbelieving they are? You know, we don't want that, right? So Jesus was amazed at how much unbelief that they have, and it said that limited Jesus' power. So if you want to have that power, we need to have belief, amen? Believe that, yes, God did it for me. Yes, he's given me that spirit, that Holy Spirit, that power that's in us. And if you're doubting, if you're up and down, one day, you know, I can believe it, and then you hear a little bit of that bad news, and then you're back down again. You know what? You can't expect too much. Seth, have you got a song for the end? Not yet, but okay. I don't want to surprise you here. Mm-hmm. That's why I gave you time. We're still talking about that dunamis power. That word dunamis is where we get the word dynamite. I don't think I said this. Or dynamic. This power that's available to us, that power that's living in us, guys. Luke 4:36 says, "And they were all amazed, and they said to one another, 'What is this word? For with authority and dunamis, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.'" Talking about that dynamic power that Jesus had, that he's given to us. Acts 6:8. "Stephen was full of grace and power," dunamis, "doing great wonders. And Jesus called the 12 disciples to give..." Oh, no, let me stop right there. Stephen was full of grace and power. You know, somebody say, well, that was back then. It's passed away. Well, why would somebody say that? I don't think that we can just take things out of the Bible and say, well, that was before and this is now. You know, why would that have passed away? Well, maybe salvation has passed away if you believe that. We just can't arbitrarily take things out of the Bible and start saying, well, that was for then. No, this is for now. That this word is for now. It's for us today. You know, I don't know about you, but I like sometimes to take a highlighter and I highlight scriptures. I think some people, they take a black Sharpie and they want to they want to take some of those scriptures out, get rid of them there. No, this Bible, this power is for us today.
That's right. That's
we need
right.
to believe it.
Forevermore.
Amen, amen, forevermore. Mm. And there's another word, which didn't specifically say in this verse, it was taught, but it's authority. And the Greek word for that is exousia. Did you know that Jesus has given us authority?
To speak
Luke 10, 19 says, I have given them authority, that's us, that's the people of God, to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm them. Another verse says, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority, exousia, in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Praise God. So we have authority. We can speak to the mountains. Jesus said, speak to the mountain and it will obey you. I know some people get offended by that, and some people think, you know, and there are people who can bring some of these words of faith too far, but that's the word in red. You know, Jesus said, speak to your mountains, and I don't think he's talking about Elko Mountain with the big E. I think he's talking about speaking to your problems, speaking to the sickness. Sickness, you must go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Mountain of debt, God has given me that exousia, that authority. Mountain of debt, be cast into the bottom of the sea in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has given us power and authority. Amen? Are we using that power and authority, folks? Say, yes, we are, from now on, right? You know, and some of us, you know, we've heard this stuff before, but sometimes it's good to remind ourselves, like, yes, I'm not just a weak vessel. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm a vessel of clay, weak clay. But you know what? We have that power on the inside of us. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me, and it's living in you. But there's probably some people out there who are saying, you know, that all sounds good. But tell you the truth, though, I don't have power. You know, I feel like I'm weak. I don't have enough power to blow out a birthday candle. I mean, we've probably all felt that at some time or another, that we feel weak. But you know what? When you feel weak, you're actually in a pretty good spot. And I'm going to be closing here pretty soon. Just giving you a little bit of a warning. See, Paul, even the Apostle Paul felt weak at times. And I think we should have that verse up, number 14 slide. There we go. And Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning the thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he might depart from me. So Paul had abundance of revelations. Paul had more than any of us. And to keep him from being too proud, a messenger of Satan was allowed to come to him, who buffeted him, who bothered him, who harassed him. And Paul prayed three times, Lord, please let that messenger of Satan get away from me. And the Lord said to him, my grace, my unmerited favor is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will rather boast in my weakness, that the power of Christ may be upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sakes, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen?
Amen.
He said, I would rather boast in my weaknesses. You know, in the modern day today, I don't think we see that too much. People bragging about how weak they are. You know, you see athletes and everything, you know, they're not usually bragging, oh, you know, I'm so weak, I'm probably not going to be able to do this. You know, you get fighters, you know, they're threatening, they're bullying, they're talking tough, they're bragging. But it says, I would rather boast in my weakness. You know, one guy says, I need the Lord every day. The next guy says, well, you know what? Even more so, I need the Lord just to get my pants on in the morning. The third guy says, well, look at me. I'm so weak, I need the Lord for my every breath. And they're saying, oh, you're just bragging. You're just boasting. Yeah, I'm going to boast. I need it for my every breath. I can't do anything on myself. I need him every day for everything. Because when I'm weak in myself, that's when I am strong. Yeah. Amen?
That's right.
That's when we have that power. But when we say, you know, I got this, Lord. You know, we're this full. And I just need, you know, just a little bit, Lord. Just a little bit on top. That's when you're bragging on the Lord. And that's all you get is that little bit of God. But when you say, Lord, I am weak. Because I don't necessarily feel like I'm a good speaker. So Lord, I am weak. I'm like way down here. So if anything's going to happen, I need this much of you, Lord. This is the Holy Spirit working through me. He works through our weaknesses. When we are weak, that's when we are strong. Amen. Now, we're going to be finishing up with one song, and then we're going to release people, if this is okay with James.
Yeah.
But while this song is going on, we're going to ask if anybody wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if they want to come on up, if there's any issue, if there's a sickness, if there's problems in your life, come on up, you know. The power is available. Church, we're part of the body. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. Amen?
Yeah.
The power of the Holy Spirit is mostly present when we're all together, when we're working together in love.
Yes.
So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to let the song go on. And if anybody wants to come up, please do. And don't be shy, because we're not going to go on for too long.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we're hungry and we're thirsty for that Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
For the power of God to be poured out, Lord God. Pour out your spirit,
yes,
Lord God. We're empty and we need you, Lord. I can't do this on my own. I am weak in myself, Lord God. So strengthen me, Lord God, with your strength.
Yes.
We ask this in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Seth.
Or would I run to the throne of mercy? Would I kneel at this cross of grace? How great love, strong hands that hold us. Beautiful, you're beautiful. So here I bow to lift you high, Jesus, be glorified in all things. For all my life, I'm yours, forever yours. There is a king who bore the scars of healing. There is a son who came in grace and truth. How great love carries us to kindness. Wonderful, wonderful. So here I bow to lift you high, Jesus, be glorified in all things. For all my life, I'm yours, forever yours. So here I bow to lift you high, Jesus, be glorified. and now be lifted high right here, and now be glorified, God of heaven and earth, God who brought me back to life. I'm yours forever. To lift you high, Jesus.